Welcome to Bride of Christ Radio.
Thank you for tuning in to Bride of Christ Radio. I'm your host, Deborah Powers. Here at WBOC Radio, we are committed to bridging the gap between Israel and the nations, educating the world against anti-Semitism, and supporting the legitimate nation of Israel. If you're listening on the radio and you like to watch the live stream, you can join in on the conversation at wbocradio.org and click on Get Started. You can also join me on Facebook right now where I'm streaming live, and I'm on YouTube as well. I want you to know, regardless of what I'm teaching at this moment, I'm here to minister to you. I want you to know that I'm reaching out to those throughout the nations, to the lost souls who have been wounded, broken, lost, and searching for a shepherd. I'm here to minister to you regardless of what it is I'm talking about. So if there's a need and you want to call into the broadcast, you can dial at any time, 515-602-9613. You can reach out to me right now, live. I don't even care if you call in right now. I'll answer any question that you have. And if you're having a hard time right now, then we'll even pray together. Praise God. If you'd like to reach out to me here at WBOC Radio, you can call 515-602-9613 to be part of the live broadcast as well. Or you can leave a message at 931-563-3377. And you can email it talk@wbocradio.org with questions you'd like me to answer on the broadcast or topics you'd like for me to address. All right, you can also write to WBOC Radio, P.O. Box 413, McMinnville, Tennessee, 37111. We've added a donation page to our website if you'd like to support Bride of Christ Ministries. You can also read my blog, get copies of my books, or listen to previous episodes of the podcast at WBOCradio.org. Please let me know you support the Bride of Christ by going on Facebook and YouTube and following my page. You can also follow me on Instagram and Twitter at WBOC Radio. For those of you who are watching the live feed right now, thank you for tuning in. I appreciate you being there. If you'd like to call in again, the number is 515-602-9613. Today is the last episode from Mystery of the Ketubah, and it's the conclusion to this series that I've been teaching. If you missed any of the broadcasts, now would be a great time to catch up while I'm off the air. But make sure you follow the broadcast on Facebook and YouTube while I'm in Israel so you'll be updated when I'm about to go live on the air. That includes all those radio listeners as well if you'd like to get on Facebook or YouTube. The Facebook page is wbocradio.org and YouTube channel is WBOC Radio. And if you're doing a search for it in the search menu, just type in my name as well. It's Deborah Powers, D-E-B-R-A. Powers is P-O-W-E-R-S. Also, the website is wbocradio.org, and it has updated information on the broadcast, and there are many more resources you can access as well. I'm adding to this daily, so check us out. Don't forget to sign up for our emails. I just added a new blog a couple days ago. I forgot to announce it yesterday. Is it better? I added it last night, I think. So I'll keep you up to date once in a while on what's going on. If there's anything important you may need to be aware of that may affect you as a Christian, we need to stay unified as a corporate body and create one voice, which is why I want to be able to contact you. If you're in agreement with me and we're in one accord with the Holy Spirit, then whatever it is that is coming against us and trying to attack us, if we come together and I can email you, then we can come together as one voice, as one body, as one bride. So I'll also keep you up to date with Israel on the Street coming in September 2019. So for more information, visit our website and click on the Fellowship tab at the top. This is my next scheduled trip to Israel with a group. You'll get to enjoy Israel up close and personal, learn about the culture, and meet the people while still visiting the holy sites. Also during this trip, we'll be going live, doing live interviews on the streets of Israel as we talk to the people, enjoy the food, and experience Israel with a group. So you won't want to miss this trip. I'm pretty excited about it, being able to take a group with me. I'll be leaving at the end of this month, which is just next week sometime, for Israel. So I'll be out of the studio after today and streaming a few live segments as well as recording for the broadcast while I'm there. But I won't be able to pre-schedule live episodes. I will try and let you know when I'm going to go live, and I'll try to upload what I can to wbocradio.org and to my YouTube channel. But I will be able to, most likely now that we're getting in the new equipment and everything, I'll be able to go on ahead of time and put it, the live stream, the connection for the live stream on wbocradio.org. You can find that live stream by going to boctv.org, or if you're on the front page of the ministry, which is the WBOCradio.org website page, at the very front. If you scroll down, I actually have a live stream connected right there to where anytime I'm up and going and doing a live stream, then you're going to see it right there. All right, so I'll finish up this series today. And then be out until, you know, I am in Israel, and I'll be doing some live segments there. And then I'll actually be back in March or sometime at the end of March with the live broadcasts, which are going to be pre-scheduled ahead of time, so you'll know when I'm coming up. Again, if you want to be part of the broadcast today or you just have questions you'd like for me to answer, give me a call at 515-602-9613. Or if you're watching my live feed, then type in your questions and comments in the section below. And tell me what country you're watching from, so I'll be able to give you a shout-out. I'll try to answer as many live questions as I can on the air right now. I apologize for the noise in the studio. It is storming here, and it doesn't seem like it's going to let up until the studio starts to float. So hopefully that won't happen. Praise God. So today, like I said, we're concluding this segment from my latest book called Mystery of the Ketubah. All right, and we're going to get into... basically, what I'm going to do is get into some of the dialogue that we've already gone over. I want to reiterate some of the things that, in case you've missed anything and you want to go back and you want to watch any of these episodes, we started on January 21st with the first episode and then went into around the 23rd we started. And I was 4 days a week through this time. And so we've got, I believe it's about 17 episodes. And it's 17 hours worth of watching, but there's a lot in the front that I repeat myself because we have new listeners every day. So you can just skip the first, you know, 5 minutes, and then we'll get into the meat of the actual teaching in each one of these videos. But there's a lot that's in there, and I don't want you to miss anything. And if you have, then make sure you get a copy of my book. You can go to bachpublishing.com, and you can go to wbocradio.org. You can click on resources at the top, or you could just go straight to the Bach Publishing website at bocpublishing.com. So that's where we are right now. And I want to go over, starting with the very first broadcast that we had done, which was The Chosen Bride. And what we talked about during that time was how to, differentiate between who the bride is and who we actually think the bride is. And in that chapter, we talked about, or in that broadcast, we talked about the bride being one new man. The bride is the Jew and the Gentile. It's everyone who will accept Christ as their Lord and Savior. The next thing is the chosen husband. And we talked about within the chosen bride, the bride revealed. So we revealed the bride as the whole body of Christ. And the chosen husband, we talked about it being Christ. And it was not the church. So we know that, you know, the bride doesn't marry the bride. The bride doesn't marry the church. The bride marries the groom, and Jesus is the groom. And then also in that segment, we discussed the promise of the Father, which is the Holy Spirit. And then the next thing I went into was preparing for a wedding, and it's about the Kiddushin and the Irushin. The Kiddushin is the Irushin. It happens during the Irushin, which is the betrothal. So the Irushin, E-R-U-S-I-N is what I'm saying. Irushin is the word for betrothal, but it's so much more than a betrothal. The Kiddushin is the time of sanctification, to set yourselves apart. That's what God is asking us to do when he calls us into the wedding. When he calls us into that relationship with him, he's asking us to set ourselves apart from this world. And so, you know, he gives us a new identity. There's things that he has to work out of us. And all this garbage that we kind of want to drag with us, sometimes we don't even mean to do it. We don't even know that we're dragging in this baggage into the marriage. But it's something that he has to work out of us before we can walk in that full covenant marriage with him. And then letting go of the luggage. I shared some of my own personal testimony throughout these broadcasts, and I explained to you some of the dreams and the things that God had given me, prophetic dreams that he had given me. And went through in great detail how that affected my life. But through my testimony was a testimony of Christ. It was a prophecy of Christ because of what he was doing in me. So as we're walking these things out and I'm sharing these prophetic dreams with you, God is revealing these things in my life. And each step that I take and deeper I get into that relationship, not turning back, not giving up, not giving up on Christ, knowing that he is going to fulfill every promise that he's given me in my life, I continue to move forward. And throughout these broadcasts, I've shared this with you. So this testimony is not about me. It's about what Christ wants to do in your life. The same thing he's done in mine. It may be different, but it's the same thing. It's the same calling. It's just we're in one body, but it's a different way of doing it because he's called us all to be different parts of the body. We're not all a hand. We're not all a voice. We're not all an ear, but we're all one body. So I share those personal experiences with you through preparing for a wedding. And then the ancient Jewish wedding traditions was very explicit in all the different things that the Jews still carry on today and the traditions and the customs that Christ, experienced during his life on this earth. And so what he was going through, what he was talking about, the things that he was sharing with us and the way he was ministering had to do with his culture. It had to do with what he was doing during that time and the way he was raised. All right, these traditions are still carried on. So through ancient Jewish wedding traditions, in that particular segment, we talked about the proposal. All right, we talked about the ketubah, the negotiations, how they continued on all the way through the time that they would sit down at the table and they would negotiate each one of these cups that they would enter into. And that as they did it, and as we walked with them through this proposal and this negotiations, and then the wedding and the redemption, the redemption of the bride, and how he's our Goel Kadim, and all of these things that he's done for us, and how he's redeemed us. If you're Jewish and you're watching right now, then this is a very important segment for you to watch, and it's called Ancient Jewish Wedding Traditions. Go back, look it up, whether it's on YouTube or Facebook, or if you go to WBOC Radio or WBOC, or I should say BOCTV.org, and you click on that and you go to live. If you click on that and you'll scroll down, you'll see a list of all of these in order, and you can begin to watch these, but please watch Ancient Jewish Wedding Traditions and Parables of Marriage, because these are the things that Jesus fulfilled, showing us all that he is Yeshua HaMashiach, that he is your Mashiach. And so we get into the wedding, and I discuss that in great detail, and all the things that occur in ancient Jewish wedding traditions. But then when we get into the next segment, Parables of Marriage, I talked about how these parables that Jesus spoke of in great detail and the scriptures that he gave us lined up with those ancient Jewish wedding traditions, how he was saying that he is the groom who's coming back for a bride without spot or wrinkle. The reason I'm going over this really quick is because I want you to remember exactly what we talked about, so that when I get to section 3 here in just a minute, that I have just gone over through, the last week and the beginning of this week, how important this section is to you as a new believer in Yeshua HaMashiach. Whether you're Jew or Gentile, it doesn't matter. You know, I'm going to explain to you exactly the mystery behind the entire book right here that God had given to me. That's what today's episode is about. So bear with me while I continue over this. If you've watched all these, then you're not going to, miss out on anything. And if you have, it's not going to make a difference, because I'm still not revealing a whole bunch because I don't have time. I mean, it's hours worth of teaching. So we go into the parables of marriage. And like I said, he's giving us scriptures. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And this here, Jesus is talking about the ancient Jewish wedding tradition of them going and knocking on the door. And after they enter into the ketubah and they sign their name, he goes off to prepare a place for his bride on the side of his father's house. And when he's finished, then the father will say, okay, let me check it out. Looks good. We've done everything and fulfilled every promise that we have said in the ketubah. go get your bride. So then he would let it leak out that he was going to go get his bride. So Jesus says, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. Just like a Jewish husband would go to prepare a place for his bride so he could receive her. And even he even says that, I will come again and receive you unto myself, and that where I am, there you may be also. And then he says, then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened to 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth. And this scripture here is specifically talking about when a bride waits, once he has sent out the word and the bride is waiting for her groom to come and whisk her away. We go into very deeply into this section where he's talking about how the angels are going to be set loose to say, okay, go blow the trumpet. Now go gather my elect from the four corners of the earth, you know, from the four winds. And so I go in very deep into that. And there's so much more that I would love to share with you. But moving on into that first section, which the very first section, part one, was called the Kiddushin. And there's five chapters in each one of these sections. So part one is the Kiddushin. Part two is called the covenant. And part three is called the ketubah. So as we go through this, we go in to 30 pieces of silver. We show how there was a redemptive price paid and how it was given back, that he did enter into this covenant with a new covenant with his bride, and that he fulfilled the old covenant at the same time. So going into part two, we get into the covenant. We enter into the servant covenant. Now, the servant covenant was very explicit, and it talked about the blood covenant, because the servant covenant is the blood covenant. And it's when he knocks at the door and asks us if he could come in and you know, negotiate with us. Will you enter into this contract? And when we open that door, we say yes. We immediately, when we open that door of our salvation and we accept Christ, he says, this is the first cup. I'm asking you to come in and serve me. But it's not a one-sided, either way we look at it, it's not one-sided, whether it's on Christ's point of view or if it's through the eyes of a bride, we are to serve each other. This isn't where we come in and do everything or we're constantly asking from him. The servant covenant is the love covenant. If we can't learn to love, because you can't enter into a blood covenant, just like Christ, if he did not love us, he couldn't have laid his life down for us. And just like with us, if we didn't love him and decide to enter into that covenant, then we can't serve him unless we do it in love. Because if you're not serving Christ in love, then you're not serving Christ at all. It's a one-sided relationship. You have to love him, because when you love Christ, you can serve him freely. Praise God. Then we get into the friendship covenant. And this is represented by the salt covenant. It's where they take the challah bread and they dip it in the salt. And then they share it and they take the salt and they put it back in their pouches, because that friendship covenant can never be broken, and neither can the salt be separated. And so we get into this there, and I tell a few personal stories right here about, you know, the Lord telling me that he loves me after he laid his life down for me. He still tells me that he loves me. And during that friendship covenant that we enter into with Christ, he wants us to grow with him. This is all part of the Kiddushin. It's all part of that setting yourself apart and growing in the Lord and sanctifying yourselves while you're waiting to enter into that perfect marriage covenant. It doesn't mean that you're not going to heaven, but he's asking you to press in deeper and even closer into him through these covenants. And I told about, you know, how we hear his voice and he speaks to us and that he wants to call you a friend. Praise God. Then you get into the inheritance covenant, that we shouldn't be walking around broke, busted, and disgusted. We should be walking around with the full inheritance that Christ has for us. And this is all under the covenant, part two. And then the marriage covenant, the Passover Seder, the legal authority that he has given us, talk about and is in very goes in very in-depth in exactly what Christ is asking each of us to do. To press into him, to walk in that authority, to pick up that authority in the name of Jesus and have confidence in his name and speak in it just as confident as you would if, you know, you were married. And whether you're a man or a woman, if you're a man, you're still the bride of Christ, because we are without gender. There will be no marriage and taking and, you know, taking in marriage when we get to heaven. But heaven isn't the end of everything. Heaven is just the beginning. We still have that last day of rest, which is the millennial reign, that we will come back and we will reign as kings and priests with Christ on this earth. And there's still people that, you know, suffer through and come through the tribulation that'll be here on this earth. There's 1,000 years of no death or destruction, but just peace. You know, and so the enemy, Satan, will not be here to tempt anyone, because he'll be locked up in hell behind bars. Christ will have the key and he'll be there for 1,000 years. But then at the end of that 1,000 years, he will be released to tempt those people. And why is he going to be released? Because there's still people that were born on this earth that will still be, you know, being born, and they still have to have and make a decision on whether or not they're going to accept Christ. It says many will turn away as the sands of the sea. For 1,000 years, people are, you know, reproducing on this earth, and those people will have to be judged as well and will have to make a decision. And it says that, you know, as the sands of the sea, many of them will follow after him and will, you know, follow after Satan and will be thrown into the lake of fire. And just like everybody else right now that's had a chance to accept him as their Lord and Savior. If you're just tuning in, you're listening to Bride of Christ Radio. I'm your host, Deborah Powers. If you'd like to be part of the discussion, give me a call at 515-602-9613, and I'll take your calls, even if it's not about what we're discussing right now, which is the conclusion to Mystery of the Ketubah. If you've never watched this before, I urge you to go back and watch the other videos starting from January 21st and on until you get to this part. It's 4 days a week. I think we're lacking just one video of that, but there's about 17 videos to watch. And so just make sure that you go back and you check in. I promise you, you're not going to be disappointed in the teachings that you're going to get out of this. And also, if you'd like to get a copy of my book, you can go to BachPublishing.com or you can go to WBOCRadio.org. It's called Mystery of the Ketubah. And Tell Them I Am Sent Me is also out for purchase as well. But you could also get the audio a book of Tell Them I Am Sent Me on iTunes. You can download it, or you can get it at BachPublishing.com as well. And you can get it on Kindle and Nook Books through Amazon. And, it's on Audible as well. So I'm getting ready. I just finished this book on September 10th, I believe, was the release date. And, September 10th. And so I don't have this on audiobook yet, The Mystery of the Ketubah. I don't have it on audiobook, and I don't have it on Kindle or Nook yet, because it hasn't technically been sent to the editor. All right, so moving on with this next section, it was called The Ketubah. So no, I know that that's the name of the book. However, the reason that it's called this, I just want to explain a little something to you here before I move on, okay? So when I began to write this book, I was laying in my bed one morning, and I was praying, and I decided to just roll out of the bed, get on my knees, and just begin to cry out to the Lord, like, Lord, you've put this in my heart. Show me what it is you want me to say. Show me what it is that you want me to write. You're just going to have to reveal this to me. And as I was praying, and I was, you know, just praying in my prayer language, and all of a sudden in my spirit, I jumped up and I grabbed a piece of paper and a pencil, and I began to write down these numbers. I wrote down section 1, 2, and 3, and I put 7 chapters in between each. And as I did that, I began to write. And as I wrote out the name of each section and each chapter, it stopped at 5. And then I was just writing just as quickly as I could. It was just being poured out into my spirit. And I wrote down a section 2, and in section 2, there was 5. But there was 2 spaces left. And then I get to section part 3, and I wrote that down, the name of that chapter or that section as well. And then I jump to the next 5. And the next thing I know, I have 5 in each one, 5 chapters in each one of these sections. And I wrote them down as they were. And later on throughout the writing, I kept trying to change the name of some of the chapters in section 3, because even though section 1, it's pretty obvious, you know, it's the Kiddushin, and we're talking about being set apart. We're talking about all the things that have to do with the marriage and the traditions and all these things. And then we get to the covenants, and that's pretty obvious. There's 4 covenants. And then I write the 5th chapter, walking in covenant. But when I get to section 3, now this is where the mystery is going to be revealed right now, because I want you to see how I receive it. So it's not so, let's just say that even though I wanted to change these things, I wasn't able to. I wrote every single one of these chapters in order, which is very unusual, because my very first book, I wrote different chapters, even though it was all laid out and I had it all organized and knew what I wanted to say. I didn't write each one of these chapters in order. As a matter of fact, my first book, Tell Them I Am Sent Me, it doesn't really flow like Mystery of the Ketubah, but there's a purpose in that. It's because these are different subjects that we're talking about. It does tie in, one chapter ties into the next as we move forward, but it's not the same, and I wrote them at different times. So I could have wrote, you know, chapter 20 and, you know, after chapter 3 is my point, is what I'm trying to say. I did write that, but this one, I wrote it in order all the way from the beginning to the end. And when I get through the very end is the final mystery in Mystery of the Ketubah. When I get to the very end of the book, and the last chapter is called Without Spot or Wrinkle, I knew at that moment that I had to write a conclusion, because in that conclusion was the mystery behind part 3. And part 3 ended up being, believe it or not, it was our ketubah. Now listen to this, okay? This might sound strange, but it was an explanation. It was laid out. It was like, for example, my own personal ketubah, but it was yours as well. It was what Christ revealed to me. So let's look at this real quick. Sending out the 12. Now let's go back and look at exactly what the ketubah consisted of during the days of Jesus. If you'll remember, the very first part was the genealogy and the history of the bride and groom. The second, and it lines up with Genesis. The second part lined up with Exodus. And so the first 5 books of the Torah we talked about, or the Torah itself, I should say, in the first five books of the Bible, the Pentateuch, first five Penta. So the second section, and there's 5 sections in a ketubah during that time, right? So we have 5 sections. We have the first is about the history of the bride and groom. It's Genesis. The second is the history of the bride, and that's Exodus. The third is Leviticus. It's about the husband. The fourth is how they met, and it's Numbers. And it talks about the history of the bride and groom and what they did. And then this here is called, you know, in the Medbar or something like that. I can't pronounce it now without looking at the word, but that's how it's somewhat like that. But it means in the wilderness. All right. So that's exactly what it means. And it's the history of how they met. The fifth part, praise God, is called the little law. It's the law. It's Deuteronomy, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. It's the last part. And so each part of the ketubah, the first part was about the bride and groom and how they met. The second part was the history of the bride. The third part, the history of the husband. The fourth part is how they met. And the fifth part goes along with exactly what's expected of them as from each other as a couple. Within the wedding, the marriage, the Irushin, you know, the betrothal period, what was supposed to happen and take place at the wedding, how he was supposed to take care of her, and what was expected from her as a wife. So all of these things are guaranteed in the ketubah. Now, here's where it gets real, because if you're Jewish and you're listening to me, you're thinking, no, what a ketubah is it's a guarantee to the bride that she's going to be taken care of because of the traditions of what went on when this was first evolved in Israel, is that they were divorcing their wives and setting them aside. And so this guaranteed protection. This was protection for the bride. Now, you've not heard this before, but I'm about to reveal it to you right now. So this is the mystery of the ketubah all wrapped up. When we look at the ketubah, it is our word, the word of God that he has given us, that he is going to take care of us, that he is going to do everything that he has said, that he promises that he's going to keep his word. Everything in it is exactly what we know as believers that Christ said he would do for us, that he would never break his word. The Lord says, I am the same yesterday, today, and forever. So he would never break his word. And this is his guarantee to us. So he has given us a new ketubah. He's given us a new covenant that he has entered into with us. So now that you know those parts, go in and look once again at the ketubah in part 3. The first part is sending out the 12. Now, in sending out the 12, we went into detail about establishing the new covenant. We talked about how they were introduced to the Holy Spirit. Now, remember, I wrote this in order, all 5 chapters, without even knowing what this was. All right, so I give you my word. I wrote this. I didn't even realize that God was showing me that this was a ketubah. And it's so we go in, we look at what God had done, sending out the 12, go to the lost sheep of Israel. So he gives them 12 things that he tells them to do at the beginning. This is all about how the bride, the complete bride, entered into that relationship. It's telling the history of the Holy Spirit and how they met. It's all of these things, but it's so much more. It's what they did. It's going into their history about preaching and heal to go in, you know, about provision. There are 12 parts. What it is it's his divine government. So this is about the Holy Spirit. It's the history of the Holy Spirit and how they entered into and was sent out. I talk about the 70 elders back in, you know, when Moses went on top of Mount Sinai, all these things. It's so amazing to look at it now, because if you have the book or if you've listened to these episodes, then you're going to have to go back now that I've told you. And in the front of the book, I would suggest you sit there or on a piece of paper and you write down the 5 things that I said, you know, the 5 ways that a ketubah is broken down, the story and genealogy of the bride and the groom, and then the story of the bride, the story of the groom, how they met in the 4th section, and then the last is the law. It's the law of the ketubah and what's expected of them. You go back and you read section or part 3 again, or go back and listen to it again, and you're going to see how these lines up, all of this lines up. But more importantly, go through the Torah, go through the Pentateuch, the first 5 books, Moses' books, go through Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. And you read it now through the eyes of a bride. And instead of it being boring to you, you write that in the front of your Bible, exactly 5 parts of the ketubah. And then you watch and you'll see how each one of these sections lines up. That you're going to know exactly who you are as the bride of Christ. And then in this part of my book that I'm talking about, it's going into sending out the 12. The second part is more than a servant. And it goes into detail. It's all about the bride. We're talking about Matthew. And it talks about Judas of Galilee. It goes into the names of the apostles in depth. We talk about, instead of looking, I know what it's in, what's in there. We talk about their history and how each one of them, like Peter and James and Andrew and John, they were fishermen, you know, and they were you know, how they were found and how they became, you know, into this marriage. And then we get into being more than a husband. So that chapter was called More Than a Servant. And then you look at More Than a Husband, and that's the section on the husband and the genealogy of him. This here goes into the names of the Lord. It breaks down the name of Jesus and what exactly, you know, who he was. It goes into detail in the Old Covenant of where he was during that Old Covenant and during the times where he had showed up. It's so exciting. When I saw this, I mean, I couldn't contain myself. And then if you go into walking in authority, that is talking about the Holy Spirit. It's the story of how we step into that anointing. We walk in authority. I told you the story about the robe and putting on the robe. And I went into detail, very, very detailed, about that relationship with the Holy Spirit, because that's what it's about. It's how we met. It's how we do meet him. It's so amazing. Now, look at the very last section, which I taught yesterday, and it's called Without Spot or Wrinkle. And I went in to a very unpleasant subject that most people don't want to hear about, and that is once saved, always saved. It's about turning away from wickedness, turning away from this world. It's about that relationship with Christ that we have. It's about getting deeper with him. It's all about what's expected from us and what we expect from him. Because no matter what he does, he never changes. But we're able to turn away. We can turn back. I went into, you know, the Lord is not slack concerning his promises, as some men count slackness, but his long suffering to us were not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. There is many scriptures that I shared with you here. Salvation requires repentance, and it's all about repentance. It's what's required of us. It is talking about, as a bride, what is required of us and that we're to press in and that we need to stay in the word. Remember, therefore, how that thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If, therefore, thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. So this is the law. He's saying, this is what I will do if you follow after the faith, if you follow me. That word if is a contingency clause. And he says, I will not blot out your name. This is the requirement. Our name was written down. We had entered into covenant with him, and he never changes. The only variable in this relationship is the bride. She is the only one that can change. And that means that if our name can be blotted out, then it was once written down. And if it was written down, it can be blotted out. Revelations 3:3 and 5, both of those scriptures, 3 and 5. Blessed is the servant whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Of a truth, I say unto you, that he will make him ruler over all that he has. But he's talking about two servants here. Both of these servants had the same master. But and if that servant say unto his heart, my Lord delays his coming, and shall begin to beat the men servants and the maidens, and to eat and drink and to be drunken. Okay, so that's a debauchery. Listen to this. He's saying, okay, you served me at one point. You love me. You entered into this agreement with me. And now look what you're doing. Because remember what a servant is. He comes and he knocks at the door, and you answer that call. You enter into the blood covenant. That blood covenant is the shed blood that Christ shed for us at Calvary for our sins when he became a Goel Chadim. So here it is. Christ is saying, these are two servants. Both of them entered into this covenant with me. And all we have to do is look at Judas Iscariot, who, when we go back and we look at sending out the 12 and being more than a servant, we find that Judas was baptized with the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues. And he had power and authority to go out and heal people and cast out devils when Christ sent out the 12 apostles, because he was one of them. So he did taste of the good things, and he did know exactly what he was betraying. But yet they say he was lost to Satan. So we know that he's in hell because they say that this is what he had done and he had betrayed Christ. And so it said Satan had entered into him. He was possessed of the devil. You can't have the Holy Spirit in you and the devil at the same time. All right, because there's only one temple. You can't, you know, have fresh water and salt water coming out of your mouth at the same time. But you can't be baptized in the Holy Spirit and you can't have a devil. So obviously the Holy Spirit was removed from him and Satan had entered in. So that's what I'm talking about right here. Continue to listen. It says, but and if that servant say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming and begin to eat and drink and get drunk, the Lord of that servant will come in a day when he looketh not for him, and at an hour when he is not aware, and will cut him asunder, and will appoint him his portion with the unbelievers. So he was once a servant, and now he's cast out. And that servant, which knew his Lord's will, and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. So that's Luke 12:43-48, if you want to go back and read it. So our names can be blotted out. I went into that in depth yesterday. It says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purges it, that it may bring forth more fruit. So if we are abiding in Christ, then he's going to, purge it so that we can bring forth more fruit. But if you're not, then you're going to be treated as a limb and you're going to be cast out into outer darkness. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except you abide in me. I am the vine. So you can do nothing apart from Christ. And that includes your own salvation in your own self-righteousness. I am the vine and ye are the branches. He that abides in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For where with me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire and they are burned. He is comparing a servant who does these things, who does not follow after him. He's telling us that's who what would happen to us. That's who we are. We are servants. We are his friend. We are joint heirs with Christ. We are a child of God, and we are his bride. So as you go through each one of these chapters that the Lord had given me, you'll see, I mean, this may not be such a great revelation to you, but I mean, I was really just geeking out here. I was so excited when I received this. I wish I could just express that to you, how exciting it was when God gave me this word. And then at the very end, when I thought I was all finished writing this book, he tells me that this was a ketubah. And it's an example of the ketubah. So the only thing that you can see here when I went back, it's called The Ketubah, Part 3. So all of these chapters, I'm going to wind it up with this right here. All these chapters were written exactly how I received them from the Lord in perfect order. In essence, Part 1 and 2 laid the foundation for our understanding of the Ketubah. Part 3 was intended to be a detailed explanation of the New Covenant. It described the bride and groom, their families, as well as conditions that each agreed upon when entering into the marriage covenant. It is our ketubah, our security as a bride, and our promise that his word is true. He is returning soon for a bride who has prepared herself, praise God, has prepared her heart to receive her Lord. He does love us, and he's not forgotten about us. He's gone to prepare a place for us, and I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ our Lord. Now that the word of God's been seen through the eyes of a bride, the mystery of the ketubah is finally revealed. The covenant between the bride of Christ and her groom, Yeshua HaMashiach, has been completed, completely exposed through the knowledge of ancient Israel. The Jewish wedding traditions removed the veil of the bride with the parables Yeshua compared her to uncovered her identity. Once the bride was exposed, the relationship Christ desires with her is revealed through the traditions and customs of Judaism. The purpose of our ketubah is and always has been to give us, the bride, security in our covenant. Do you understand that? God could swear by nothing greater than himself. Therefore, he gave us his word and filled us with his spirit, which bears witness because the spirit is truth. So there is nothing more that he could do. He gave us his word. He gave us his covenant. And through that covenant, he says he will never forsake us. Does it make sense to think that you could actually lose your salvation just because you're not worthy? Well, you know what? Like I said yesterday, newsflash, you were never worthy. It wasn't through works that we receive salvation. It's through our hope and faith and belief in Christ that he laid his life down for us and that we received him. But if we turn away from that, reject that redemption, he doesn't change. Only we do. And we can turn away and our names can be blotted out. This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Son, which is the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. And there are three that bear witness in earth, and the Spirit, the water, and the blood. And these three agree in one. With the Spirit now abiding in the bride and dwelling with her, the security of her ketubah is firmly validated in her spirit. She's able to testify with confidence concerning the shed blood of Yeshua, the power and authority he's given to her, and the plans he has had for his bride since the foundations of the earth. She can walk in assurance of her identity with boldness and faith, without wavering that she is the bride of Christ. I pray that you receive as much out of this word as I have while giving it to you. I pray you find your own relationship with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And most importantly, I hope you find salvation, which lies between the pages of our own ketubah. Fear not, for thou shalt not be ashamed. Neither be thou confounded, for thou shalt not be put to shame. For thou shalt forget the shame of thy youth, and shalt not remember the reproach of thy widowhood any more. For thy Maker is thine husband, the Lord of hosts is his name, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, the God of the whole earth, shall he be called. Isaiah 54:4-5. That is who our Lord is. Praise God. That's what Christ did for us. He doesn't want to take that from us, and he doesn't want us to walk in condemnation. He wants us to have a conviction of our heart, and when our hearts are no longer under conviction, that's when we need to be afraid. When we can blatantly sin and it not convict our hearts, then we have a problem. And we need to turn back to Christ. Even if you've received salvation years and years ago, and you're no longer convicted of the sin that you know is going to grieve the Holy Spirit, but yet you continue to commit it anyway, and it doesn't even bother you, that's when you need to be concerned. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for your word. I thank you for ministering to these people, and I thank you for ministering to me as you have given me this word, Lord, and you have blessed me throughout the writing of this book and through the broadcast that I've shared throughout these many, many hours that I've spent on here just trying to pour out everything into these people. Lord, I pray that everyone within the sound of my voice will be lifted up, that they will be encouraged, Lord, and they will have new foundation under their feet, a new direction and new possibilities in their life, that you will draw them in, Lord, and you will continue to use them and show them the potential that they have in the name of Jesus Christ, that you will give them boldness, that you will give them unshakable faith, that you will give them a voice, Lord, to speak the words that you've put inside their heart, that you will be able to call them not just a servant, but a friend that walks in that inheritance covenant. And eventually, Lord, that they'll enter into that marriage covenant with you, and they'll lift you up and they'll bring you glory all the days of their life in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Lord, that you have put a word in their mouth. I thank you for touching my lips. I thank you for speaking through me, Lord, and you filling me up and pouring me out. I thank you for this, Lord Jesus. You are the Almighty God, and we just praise you and magnify you, Lord. We lift you up and we call you holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. We speak your name, hallelujah. Glory, glory, as we say, Jesus, 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 pour out your spirit upon us, Lord. Jesus, Yeshua, Yeshua, just cry out, Yeshua. It doesn't matter in what language you speak. It doesn't matter what you're saying. As long as you cry out to him, he knows who you are and he knows your name. He has not forgotten your name. Your name is on his lips and he's drawing you. He's calling you. He's asking you to come in and sup with him. Just sit down as he knocks at the door. Praise God. Thank you, Lord, for all these things, Father. We thank you that you continue to draw people unto you, that the work here on this earth is not yet finished. But I pray, Lord, now that you will send your latter rain and your former rain on the same day, that you will pour it out upon all flesh as you ascend us forth, Lord, to draw more people into the marriage covenant, to go out and send your servants out to invite them into the wedding. I would rather come in, Lord, as a wedding guest than not come in at all. Even if they don't ever enter into that marriage covenant, Lord, let them come in as a servant. Let them come in as a friend. Let them come in and draw them, Lord, as somebody who is just walking in that inheritance covenant, that they may be able to spread the gospel. Even if they never reach their full potential, Lord, they're at least invited to the wedding, and they've answered that call. And we thank you for this, Lord. I pray, Lord, most of all, that you minister to these individuals and show them who they are as you tear back these layers and you cleanse them, Lord, and you clean them up and you get rid of all the junk and all the wounds and all the holes that they've drug into this marriage with them, Lord. I pray that you just wash them. Wash it all away, Lord. Renew their strength and lift them up as they will rise up on wings of eagles, Lord, that they will run and not be weary, that they shall walk and not be faint, that you will give them the strength to keep pressing on, Lord, as they enter into that next covenant and that next covenant and that next covenant until they walk in the boldness and the authority of Jesus Christ with the faith that cannot be shaken in the name of Jesus. We thank you for this. We praise you and we lift you up. We glorify you, Lord. We thank you for answering our prayers. Hallelujah. We thank you for being with us in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I ask, Lord, as I sit here on this broadcast and I begin to step out, Father, to go to Israel, to answer that call, Lord, to step into that covenant with you. I pray, Lord, that you will send the prayers to watch over me, Lord, that you will send your Holy Spirit to be with me, that you will put a hedge of angels around me to protect me, Lord, that you will guide and you will direct me, that I will walk in the path that you have ordained, the steps that you have ordained, Lord, and all these people, these divine appointments that you have set up for me, Lord, I pray that you minister to them. And I bind the enemy, that strong man, that he is not able to come against me, Lord, that you give me favor and that you will make a way where there did not seem to be a way before, that you will send people in my path, Lord, and that you will go and send forth your angels to minister to them, Father, your warring angels to fight. Lord, I release you right now in the name of Jesus to do the work in my life that you had intended, Father, in the name of Jesus. I will not let go until you bless me, Father. I pray, Lord, that you will send all the prayers that I can right now. I will receive all the prayers that I can while I'm over there. I pray that these people will lift me up and they'll be with me, Lord, and they'll keep me in their prayers in the name of Jesus, because they'll always be in my heart. I thank you for these people, Lord, this flock that you have given me to minister to. And I pray, Lord, that I could be trusted, that I'll always give you the glory, and I will never take any for myself in the name of Jesus. And I thank you for this. Bless them, Lord. Lift them up and minister to them in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you so much for tuning in today. I'm going to cut the broadcast a little short. Stay tuned in for not tomorrow's broadcast. I'm sorry, I'm not coming in tomorrow. Stay tuned in for, all the broadcasts and the things that we're going to be doing in Israel. I will be letting you know at wbocradio.org when there's going to be a live broadcast. I'll be publishing that on the main page. You could just scroll down and you could watch me there. I found out I am going to be able to stream live in many different areas. So I'm extremely excited about that, because I didn't think I was going to get to share that with you. However, I want you to know that if you watch normally on Facebook, you're going to have to go to the WBOCradio.org page, or you're going to have to follow me on the YouTube channel. So go to the YouTube. You could go to the website and you can scroll down to find the YouTube channel as well. I don't say that enough, but you can go and you can scroll on down on any of the pages on the website. Click on YouTube. It'll take me to the page, take you to the page, and go ahead and sign up or join, you know, to get, I don't even remember what it's called. It's called follow. Duh. Sorry. Follow me on YouTube, and then you'll get all the latest updates when I'm about to go live. So do that. And also, I'm going to have somebody here post those on Facebook. I don't know if it's going to stream live, though. So I don't know if the YouTube's going to stream on Facebook. So you're going to have to go through YouTube to do that, because here I can have multiple streams at once in the studio. As a matter of fact, the studio equipment's just coming in. So by the time we come back in March, beginning of April, we are going to be up and going with the studio, because it actually is here now. I'm not looking for anything to go wrong. I think it's going to be blessed, and that I'm going to be highly favored in this. Praise God. And he is going to pour out a blessing upon you that you cannot receive. Pressed down, shaken together, and running over in the name of Jesus. Thank you so much for being with me throughout this teaching and last year's teaching. Thank you for following along. If you've missed anything, please go back and watch. I encourage you to do that, because you will not be disappointed, I promise. I'm your host, Deborah Powers. Thank you so much for joining me, and I look forward to seeing you again next month in Israel. Thank you so much, and remember, you are the bride of Christ. Praise God.